broken for my regard. Through it all, through it all, my eyes are on you. Through it all, through it all, it is well. Through it all, through it all, my eyes are on you, and it is well with me. Far be it from me to not believe, even when my eyes can't see. And this mountain that's in front of me will be thrown into the depths of the sea. And through it,
still know his name. Thank you to Christine and Charlie and Gaddison, the worship band. Yes, it is well with our soul. So this morning, we continue our Why Pray sermon series, in which we've been incorporating the Lord's Prayer for our understanding, and not only why it's important for our lives, but also it is how we are praying. At the opening of this series that began right after Easter Sunday, I stated there are six petitions within the Lord's Prayer, and there were five given by Jesus and then one that was added by the early church. And these are major themes that are a part of Jesus' life and ministry. And so these petitions are meant to open our hearts, but also to train our hearts, so that God can use us to be part of the reason as we pray and for our prayers. And so thus far in the series, we've covered the first half of the Lord's Prayer, and then the first half of coverage, there have been three petitions, and the first was, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And the hallowed part is not only a request for God to act, right, but it's also an invitation for God to use us, to honor the Holy One's name. And then the second petition is, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We want God's kingdom. We want God's will to be done. Not ours, but God's. And while adding this, and start with me, start with us, and make us your fully obedient subjects. And then last Sunday, Jace helped us with the third petition, which is give us this day our daily bread. And then this is which God meets our needs, but we're also to meet others' needs. And so have you caught on how this is working? Just think about this, how this is working, because this is a twofold situation that's going on. We are saying, God, we request, God, we ask for you to act, and then there's that other part of this, in which within that request, within that ask, is our call to act. And the very same thing is happening in today's focus of the petition, in which we're saying, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Oh my. Here's Jesus, and he's taking it up a whole other level, right? Yeah, you know, I got this. God, forgive me. Are we good now? Yeah, but then, yeah, he's adding that other part. He's turning it back on us with, well, you see, God forgives, so must you. In this petition, we are smack dab into an essential part of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is about forgiveness. It's not limited to Jesus' day. It's not limited to us just as followers of Jesus. It is imperative for the well-being of this entire world in which we live. As Adam Hamilton states in his latest book, without forgiveness, our world is left with vengeance and retribution. In our spiritual life, without forgiveness, we're left with a life of guilt and alienation from God. Without forgiveness in our interpersonal lives, no marriage can survive. No friendship can endure. And humanity is condemned to bitterness, resentment, anger, and hate. Friends, every time we lift up this prayer to God, every time we lift this up, we are seeking forgiveness, and we're being reminded to extend forgiveness. Interestingly enough, and this is an interesting connector, and I believe it's a connector for a reason. Give us this day our daily bread, and there's this and connected to in the Lord's Prayer, connected to forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. It's interesting because if you think about it, for me, for us, among us is that daily bread in which we are needing and asking for the bread of forgiveness, the bread of mercy. In Aramaic, forgive, the word is shavak, and in Greek, it is aphimeia, which when translated means to let go, to release, to be set free. Forgiveness essentially feeds our soul. It frees us, and it helps make us whole. So in this petition, what we do is we start off and we're asking God to forgive us, right? Because, and I'm going to use this archery analogy. And the reason why we're asking for forgiveness is because we missed the target. Now, what is the target? Well, Jesus answered with these words, "You shall love the Lord God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There are no other commandments greater than these." Faith community, that's the target. That's the target we're supposed to live, yeah? Nonetheless, holding a mirror up, who among us has done that perfectly? Yeah? I'm just calling it out. With all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. Now, I'm going to straight up admit this. As a flawed human being, which I am, I fall short constantly. That I don't meet the all part, hitting on all cylinders at all times. That I don't always love those who are around me with the same understanding and generosity that I reserve for myself. And I will admit, and I'm telling you, if I don't admit that to myself, and in turn, if I don't admit that to God, by holding myself accountable, do you know what has its grip around me? Spiritual pride. Spiritual pride. And it is suffocating. Now, in the holding up of this mirror, I'm not trying to, in admitting this, I'm not trying to shame or guilt us. That's not my point here. Because, you see, I'm going to hold up this Bible. And in the Bible, there are numerous individuals who have fallen short. We've got Abraham, we've got King David, we've got the Apostle Paul and so many others, fallible human beings who fell short, well short. As Romans 3:23 tells us, all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. Nonetheless, they came before God and the Holy One forgave them, walked with them, loved them, and used them. Yes, there were consequences for their actions, and they had to face that. They had to make things right. They had to make things right by addressing the impact of their sin on others. And in doing so, they each became part of a greater purpose, bigger than themselves. You see, the great parent chooses flawed individuals to forgive and to love like us. And likewise, we are to forgive and love flawed people, those who have wronged us, by releasing our resentment, by releasing our visions of retribution, by releasing our bitterness and hatred. You see, forgiveness is both a choice and a process. I'm going to say that again. Forgiveness is both a choice and a process. Jesus links God's forgiveness with our forgiveness of others. In a sense, we can't fully accept God's forgiveness when we continue to hold our anger, hold our bitterness toward others. And we see that in today's centering scripture passage from Matthew 18, verses 21 through 35. In this parable, we have a servant. And a servant, this servant is about to be sold into slavery. And not only him, but also his wife and his children. So you can imagine the amount of angst that he's got, because he owes a vast sum of money to this king. 10,000 bags of gold, in which we heard earlier. 10,000 bags of gold. Now, in some translations, it says 10,000 talents. Now, just to give you an idea of the worth of that, one talent is worth 15 years of wages. So we're talking 150,000 years worth of wages. Now, that's absurd, right? That's completely out of it. It's like, what? Right? So, but it's the absurdity of this amount is crucial to the understanding of this story. Because you see, the man, he's begging, he's pleading with the king for mercy. And in an extraordinary gesture, the master had compassion on that servant, released him, and did what? Forgave the loan. Wow. The king canceled the entire debt, freeing this man and his family. Faith community, this is a picture of what God does for us. With Jesus having paid our debts with his life. But just like in the twofold petition, and this time I'll use this translation, forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. Right? There are two parts to the parable. The forgiven man, well, he happens to cross the path of I'd say, a fellow servant. The fellow servant owes him, now get this, 100 coins. Now, 100 coins, what does that mean? Well, back then it would have been a denarii. And one denarius was worth 1 day's wage. 1 day's wage. So this guy, the other guy, he owed 150,000 years, and this guy only owes 100 days. But rather than extending mercy like he had received, what he does is he's threatening demand for full payment, right? And he ends up telling that fellow servant, if you don't pay me, I'm going to get you thrown in jail. And that's what he does. He does. And so suddenly this wow turns into a whoa. And so the king, he gets word of what has happened and occurred, and he's none too pleased, as we heard in the reading of the scripture, and he reinstates the debt of this ungrateful servant and imprisons him. So what's the point? What's the point? Well, one point here is this. We're asking God to forgive us of our sins, our wrongs. We're asking for amazing grace. And in the same manner, what we're doing is we're asking for is to be directly linked in how willingness are to show us how to love, how to forgive. And you know what? That is not easy. That doesn't come natural to us. It's sort of like the story that Rev Kathy told me. She was telling me about this woman and a grandmother. Well, the grandmother is a very forgiving soul. She's very religious. And they're both, this woman and the grandmother, they're both sitting on the front porch, and they're talking and chatting about a family member. Well, the young woman says, he's no good. He is just no good. He's completely untrustworthy and, you know, not to mention outright lazy. Well, the grandmother, she's rocking back and forth in her chair, and she says, yeah, he's bad, but Jesus loves him. The younger woman, she just shakes her head, and she says, I'm not sure of that. And the elderly lady, she reassures her, and she says, yeah, Jesus loves him. She continues to rock in her chair back and forth, and then she adds, of course, Jesus doesn't know him like we do. Now, joking aside, I appreciate something that Henry Nouwen is a fantastic he was a spiritual leader, a great thinker, theologian, a priest. And he once wrote this, and I find it very telling. I want to share it with you, and this is what he said. I have often said, I forgive you, But even as I said these words, my heart remained angry and resentful. I still wanted to hear the story that tells me that I was right after all. I still wanted to hear apologies and excuses. I still wanted the satisfaction of receiving some praise in return, if only the praise for being so forgiving. And then he goes on, now and goes on to say this. But God's forgiveness is unconditional. It comes from a heart that does not demand anything for itself, a heart that is completely empty of self-seeking. It is this divine forgiveness that I have to practice in my daily life. It calls me to keep stepping over all my arguments that say forgiveness is unwise, unhealthy, and impractical. It challenges me to step over all my needs for gratitude and compliments. It challenges me to step over this, and it demands me that I step over that wounded part of my heart that feels wrong and feels hurt and that wants to stay in control and put a few conditions between me and the one whom I'm asked to forgive. This week, when I was reflecting on this fourth petition of forgiveness, you know, I was processing a lot. A lot of thoughts were coming about, a lot of memories. And the one memory that I remembered, I was thinking about, and it takes me all the way back to the early 1990s. And this is a memory that shows the power of forgiveness, but it also shows the damage that can be caused by unforgiveness. Back at that time, I was holding, this is early 1990s, I'm holding down three jobs. I'm trying to make ends meet. I am making ends meet, but I'm in debt because, you see, I was an actor. That's what happens when you go into acting sometimes. You go into a lot of debt. Well, but so here it is, and I'm making ends meet, but a good friend of mine, he lives in Houston. This is a college buddy of mine, and he calls me up, and he's telling me that he's about to get evicted from his apartment. And this is what he says is, Mark, I really need $300. If I can get $300, you know, I won't be evicted. Can you help me out? And I promise that I'll pay you in 3 months' time. I'll make good on that. Now, what was I going to say? No? I mean, yeah, I was in debt, but my debt was all in credit cards. His debt is putting a roof over his head. So I go ahead and I say, not a problem. You know what? I will lend you that money. So what do you think happened after 3 months? Mm-hmm, right. So 3 months go by. I call my friend and I say, hey, I'm not saying his name. Hey, you know, what's going on with the money? You know, because I really need that. And he says, Mark, I'm in such a bind right now. I promise you, I promise you that, you know, times are rough. I'll get that money back to you. Give me 3 more months. Give me 3 more months. Promise, it's going to happen. I went, okay. What do you think happened then after 3 more months? Yeah, right? 6 months now have gone by. I'm not happy. This is someone who I trusted. This is a good friend. This is a good friend. $300 back then is worth $750 now, just so you get the equivalent, right? So I call. This time, there is no answer. Oh, yeah, I heard that. Uh-oh. Right? Well, this time, I leave a message on his answering machine, but I still don't get a call back. It's as though my friend has dropped off the face of the earth. Well, I'm frustrated. I'm angry. I'm resentful. You just name the negative emotion, and I'm just wearing it. Right? Well, I call up my dad, and my dad, a very wise man, and I was seeking his counsel, and this is what he told me. Mark, my advice for your life is lend only what you can afford to lose. Oh, come on, Dad. Really? That's your advice? Well, that didn't sit well with me. And I said something along the lines of, but Dad, this is $300. It was going toward paying my bills. And he replied, I understand that, son. I understand. But is this money you're owed worth losing your friendship over? All right, Dad. Well, he was right. Dad was right. Was this worth saying goodbye to someone I cared about? Was this worth getting rid of someone and saying, and all that bitterness and hate and resentment going towards someone that actually needed my help? And this is then when I entered into the process of forgiveness, asking God to forgive me for my anger and how I was responding toward my friend, while also forgiving my friend for letting me down, that my friend had hurt me and that he had not followed through with his promise. I'm going to tell you, by letting go of that judgment against my friend and the hurt that I was feeling, something released within me. You see, I was trusting in God's mercy when living mercifully. And my heart, it grew bigger in grace. You see, I didn't need to hold on to that resentment any longer. I didn't need to hold that against my friend any longer. So what happened is I then called him, and I said, your debt is paid in full. Don't worry about it. Consider this as a gift, because my love for you is worth more than money. And it not only freed me, you see, it freed him. Neither of us needed to be imprisoned. Forgiveness is what we both needed. And I had to be willing to extend it, which I did, thanks be to God. Now, I have a funny tag to this. Soon after I forgave my friend, a one-day shoot on a movie set came my way, and how much do you think I got paid for that? $300. Mm-hmm. Harmony Faith Community, for us to fully live, we must forgive and move beyond persons and or situations that are sources of pain in our lives. And it's very important that I say this. Forgiveness doesn't mean that we condone or excuse inappropriate or, I would say, abusive behavior. Horrendous acts that are committed, such as what occurred yesterday, if you're not aware of this, something horrible happened yesterday, a hate-filled, racially motivated, I'd say massacre, of 10 innocent individuals at a Buffalo, New York supermarket. Yet, family, we must remember that we believe in a God who came to earth, who lived and walked among us, loved us, forgave us, and taught us that goodness is always stronger than evil. And this 18-year-old who committed this heinous act, no matter how hard it may be, and it is a process, we need to forgive him, as well as forgive those who taught him to hate. It's a choice. It is a choice to not harbor anger or resentment. It is a choice for us to insist that he and those who conspired with him be held accountable for their actions. And it is a choice for us to pray for him as we also pray for the loved ones of those whom he harmed and killed. In the final analysis, forgiveness is an act of faith. It is an act of faith. Forgiveness from your heart, it takes work. A lot of work that can take years, years. It is a choice, and it is a process. And as we learn in the context of today's scripture passage, it is beyond counting. It's a never-ending practice in our lives and in the life of the church. Beloved children of the Creator, is there someone that you need to extend forgiveness to today? Or accept from someone today? What does extending forgiveness to someone look like for you? What does extending and receiving forgiveness from someone look like to you? As Jesus taught us in this fourth petition, this fourth line of the Lord's Prayer, forgiveness is the key in finding life, not only for ourselves, but also for the survival of this broken and hurting world. As we come toward the close of my message this morning, here's another insightful quote that I found from Henry Nouwen. And I hope that each of us takes this to heart as I read this. Did I offer peace today? Did I bring a smile to someone's face? Did I say words of healing? Did I let go of my anger and resentment? Did I forgive? Did I love? These are the real questions. I must trust that the little bit of love that I sow now will bear many fruits here in this world and in the life to come. May it be so. And now, friends, let us say together the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.